Tuesday, November 12th, 2013. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com. And this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, this week, we're going to be tackling something that you've heard, like, forever. And it's one of those sayings in sales that, to tell you the truth, kind of gets beaten up a little bit. So today we're going to be talking about how you can leverage that whole know, like, and trust thing. Let's say it again just for the heck of it. We're going to talk about how you can leverage the know, like, and trust thing. So if you don't mind, folks, you know how I like to roll. I like to get right down to business, man. It's that New York in me. So that's what we're going to do. Let's kind of go there. So let's take a look at this. I mean, we've all heard that, right? People do business with people they know, like, and trust. And I have to tell you, I think there's certain things in sales and certainly in life that we're just so used to hearing, and perhaps we're so used to saying, that sometimes I don't know that we either really understand or fully appreciate what it is that we're saying. And in sales, I mean, there's lots of them, if you think about it, right? I mean, yes, there's the whole people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And there's also statements like, I'm a consultant, and I create value and deliver value to my customers, right? I'm a resource. Things like that. And when we really break it down and we challenge it, sometimes we're not fully embracing it. So what I'm going to do, I decided to do with this phrase, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. I'm going to take a look at it from the front end. And what I mean by that is that you're not doing business with someone yet. And you want to create an environment where people know you, they certainly like you, and they trust you enough so that they can become your customer. So with that, let's break it down. So let's take this whole no thing. And also, too, what we're going to do is I'm going to show you how you can get people to know you, like you, and trust you. Not just talk about it and be philosophical. I'm going to tell you this is an episode where if you don't have your notebook or your journal front and center, you're going to want to pause this and get it. Or if you're driving, I don't want you writing, obviously. I want you to circle back on this one because there's going to be a lot of action items for you. So with that, let's get down to business again. Even though I said we were going to get down to business like 3 minutes ago, still haven't gotten down to business yet. What the heck's going on here? But the first thing is, people do business with people they know. I mean, at a minimum, right? We don't want an environment that when we're calling a business, they're saying, Paul who? Castain Training Systems who? Joe Jones who? Right? Things like that. We don't want that. So a few things that you might want to think about. And I want to challenge you on something. And I don't want you saying, duh. I don't want you saying, I know that, if you're not doing these things. Because I guarantee you that many of these things you know, but you're just not doing what you know. So I think the first thing that you have to do is you have to show up regularly. And it's very important, and you've heard me give this example before, but think about your personal relationships, relationships in your personal life, right? That's why we call them personal relationships. And think about someone who was trying to have a relationship with you, who was here for a few days, and then they disappear for a week or two. Then they're back for a few weeks, then they disappear for 6 months. Then they're back for a few more weeks. Then they're gone for a few weeks. So they're here, they're gone, and it's just inconsistent. I mean, would you really be able to create a relationship with that person? I mean, certainly if we jump ahead, would you really trust a person like that? I don't even know that you would like them because you never had an opportunity to see what they were all about, see if there's any chemistry between you and them. But as much as we might want to say duh to that, we're really quite guilty of this in sales. And I'll tell you why. It's not on our things to do to be inconsistent. It's not on our things to do to be here and to be gone and to be here, gone, and so on and so forth. It's just that we have great intentions and we become very, very busy. We become busy typically putting out fires with existing customers, continuing to service existing customers, things going on. Heck, we're in kind of our year-end sprint right now with many businesses. So we have the right intention, but we fail to execute. And what happens is for many of us in sales, we kind of say, well, you know what? I'm going to hit the phones again a week from Thursday, and I'm going to spend the whole day doing the phone thing. And one thing leads to another, and maybe we don't get to it. Or maybe we get to it, but we can't get to it again for another few weeks or maybe a few months or whatever. We're being inconsistent. So what's happening is that we're kind of working against the grain here. People don't have an opportunity to hear our voice and to interact with us on a phone or an email or any one of a number of things I'm going to point out to you. So that's the first thing there, that you really have to show up. I want to throw another example at you. And it's an example that's a little dated, forgive me, I'm sorry, but it's just like one that I just love to give. But I gave an example on my blog a few years ago about, again, I don't know if there's any other metalheads out there that used to like the band Guns N' Roses, any Slash fans that are out there, but if you're not, it's okay because you could just like remove the name Slash. And what I'm about to outline, pretty much any person out there who's in the spotlight and who has some degree of fame, they follow this formula. But I remember a few years ago, and I was watching on TV, and there's Slash, right? He's showing up on some talk show. And there he is. He's kind of jamming out with the band and kind of being interviewed and things like that. Next thing you know, there he is. He's being interviewed like on Good Morning America or something like that. He's showing up there. Then I read something in the paper that he showed up in some hole-in-the-wall club in New York City and jammed out with some local band. It didn't stop there. Then there's a picture, like a week later, of Slash in the stands of like some basketball game with George Lopez. But the bottom line is this, is that we kept running into Slash. And again, you might not be a Slash fan. That's okay. Just think of other people that you kind of respect and people that you keep seeing out there. You keep bumping into them. And I think that's a very important thing to think about, that to make that part of your strategy too, so that you really don't want to be spending a lot of your efforts kind of reminding people who you are. Right? There's so many things out there right now for us to really warm up that cold call and kind of take the cold out of the cold call, and even just our interactions with them warm them up a little bit. Now, here's something else that you can do. I think it's very, very important that, especially following a not even just a traditional way of hunting business, but marrying traditional with the newer social selling and what they refer to as sales 2.0 type of technologies that are out there, which is, for those of you who don't know what that is, just it's kind of a fancy way of saying all the things like LinkedIn and Twitter and using your blog and personal branding and things like that, kind of rolling them all into one type of methodology. But you know what I think you need to do, and one of the things I preach to my coaching clients, is that you want to, first of all, think about all the different ways of touching, right? What we mean by a touch, like an interaction, another opportunity for them to bump into you. And make a master list. And here's my first challenge to you. You really want to push yourself beyond having more things in your arsenal beyond a phone call and an email. Because most people, when I ask that question in training sessions or I do a keynote speech or whatever, I'll ask the question, hey, beyond a phone call, beyond an email, what else do you have? And right then, I'm being a smart ass here, eye contact is usually broken. Everybody's kind of like looking down at their phones or something at that point. Nobody wants to deal with it because they have a whole lot of nothing. So first of all, you don't want to do that. That's a big mistake. Everyone has their own preferred method of communication. If you limit it to the phone, you limit it to the email, to an email, you might be missing out on a big chunk of opportunity with people, for example, who love LinkedIn, or people who love traditional networking, people who only respond to more creative measures, people who might respond better if you dropped in, believe it or not. So you don't want to limit yourself that way. So the first thing I'm going to tell you to do is to really create a master tool list or a master weapons list of all the things at your disposal. And I would kind of brainstorm it, then step away, revisit it again, and you want to just make an incredible list. Then, once you do that, this next part is really, really important. You want to create kind of a standard map. And I call this technique communication mapping. And what you want to do is take all the things at your disposal in your arsenal and kind of create a standard map of how you want to approach a prospect. Now, and I'm just going to give you some hypothetical things to get your wheels turning, but you got to do this on your own because your way is going to be better than mine because I don't know you and I don't know what you're up against. I don't know what your style is. So just kind of a generic type of map for you to consider. Maybe your first interaction, you're a person that feels that an email should be the first way of reaching out. So maybe you're going to call that intro email number one. So then you're going to create a series of like if then statements. So what you need to really factor into this is that, and this is going to come as a shock to you, most people are not going to respond right away unless there's an immediate need or you happen to be really brilliant at catching people's attention. But we have to kind of bank for a longer haul here, right? So what you want to do is have a series of if-then statements. If I don't get a response from that email within, and you have to decide on the amount of time, then I will move on to touch number two. And then you write down touch number two. So let's just say that we're going to give them 48 hours to respond. They don't respond. Touch number two might be a phone call in this case. It could be any number of things, by the way. It doesn't have to be a phone call at that point. It could be a piece of snail mail, whatever. But in this illustration, we're going to say it's going to be a phone call. And we're going to call it intro call number one because we're real creative like that. Then comes the if-then statement. If I don't hear back from them, which chances are, we know the deal, folks. People are busy. They don't have us on the brain. And by the way, do they know us, like us, and trust us at that point? Probably not, because this is a courtship, gang. So we gotta be willing to have that long courtship if need be. We don't want to just push this into some let's go off to Vegas and elope and get married and stuff, right? Elvis style. Well, you don't hear back from them. How long are you going to give them before you go on to touch number three? Touch number three might be something creative now. Now you want to kind of get their attention, get them off guard a little bit. It might be because we're so creative here. Creative piece number one. You don't hear back from them. How long are you going to give them? Then you're going to go on to touch number four, touch number five. Now, you can get real crazy with this and map out 20 touches. I don't think it would be a horrible idea to do that. But what I would recommend that you do is map out your first quarter or certainly your first 60 days of touches. If you do this, I'm going to tell you something right off the bat. Why? Well, let me just tell you why you need to do this. You want to do this because thinking it out ahead of time, before you're in the heat of a battle and you're picking up phones and you're dialing for dollars, whatever you want to call it, if you do it ahead of time, you're thinking more logically, you're doing your best work. Here's what happens most of the time, and you feel free to email me on this and say I'm dead wrong, but for most of us, this is what really happens. We set an alert in the CRM to go off. Thursday at 10 o'clock, it goes off and it says, call Paul Castain at Castain Training Systems. Right then in that moment, we make a seat of our pants decision, which, pardon me, folks, sorry if this is harsh, it typically sucks. It typically is not our best work. And we end up by calling with a message that's somewhere either along the lines of calling to quote-unquote check-in or something that you may not realize this was pretty much identical to all the other voicemails you left them before. So there's just no creativity. And what we're doing in that moment is we're conditioning our prospects to blow off that call, let it go to voicemail, to delete us, to not really listen to the message. If you're saying the same thing that you said 3 weeks ago and 3 months ago, maybe even 3 years ago, why would there be any benefit in them listening to that message? So that's why you want to do this communication map. So that's one of the things you could do to have people get to know you. And by all means, make sure there's a good mix in there. Don't just lean heavily on phone and email. I'm telling you, there's a whole world out there beyond it. And you know how I feel about this? Right about now, somebody gets real pissy with me and says, oh man, you're dissing the cold call. I mean, it's the quickest way to get a sale, the cold call. Yeah, you're right. You're not right about the dissing part, but you're right. It might very well be the quickest thing. But if they're not picking up the damn phone, how freaking quick is that, right? So we need to open it up with these other things. I don't believe that the cold call is dead. This is my message that I really want to get out there. I don't believe that the cold call is dead. I just believe it's really, really lonely, and it needs companionship from these other ideas that we talked about. So that's the first thing that I want you to think about. The other thing, too, that's really changed in sales right now is people want to get to know you anonymously, safely, and from a distance. Let me say that again. The other major change right now is that people want to get to know you from a distance, safely, anonymously. So first of all, I kind of said you and really like emphasize that, because I think so many times we think we put all of this on marketing. And we put all this on the fact that they're going to recognize your company and they're going to have name recognition there. I don't think that's enough. I really believe that people buy you first before the company. I mean, it's a very big part of the process, don't you think? I think that's very, very important. So, and we kind of tend to blame marketing, or we put all the responsibility of this on them. And I don't think it's their job to market you. It's their job to market the company and help support you in that respect. But nobody's going to market you better than you. I in fact, sometimes I think marketing could get a little territorial, and they're saying, well, no, we want to take care of that. Yeah, I just either yes them or just tell them to kiss off, because I don't want them dabbling in that. Nobody's going to market Paul Castain like Paul Castain. I mean, that's to me non-negotiable. It's not going to happen. I'm very happy to have them market the products and things like that and support materials, but when it comes to me, I do that. And plus, I doubt very seriously going to find a marketing department that's going to want to help you market yourself. So I think that's very, very important that people want to do that. So if you buy into this idea that people want to know you from a distance and anonymously and safely, you have to realize that they're going to Google you. You do know that, right? They're going to Google you. Again, I'm putting the emphasis on the word you. Of course, they're going to Google your company, right? That's all part of it. And they're going to look for things on your company and see what other people are saying about your company. But you don't think that they're going to do this with you? And right about now, I usually have somebody say, yeah, but don't worry, Paul, there's really nothing on me. You're not going to see pictures of me at the office party, like with the lampshade on, and like me at a cake party being an ass or whatever it is. And my position is this, is that you not having anything on you out there is just as bad as them finding the picture of you at the cake party or doing something stupid or whatever. Seriously, it is. Because, you see, there's no trail now. And you're not satisfying that urge that people have right now to observe you from a distance safely and anonymously. That's a very big change that we're seeing in sales right now, that people are checking us out. And you know what? Some of you are my customers. Some of you are considering doing business with me. You've checked me out. Admit it. You've gone on Google. You've kind of looked for other opportunities. Maybe you've checked my LinkedIn profile. Maybe you're checking me out by visiting this podcast and you're having a visit. And this is kind of what I call our sitting at the kitchen table type of visit. That's the feel that I want for this. But let's be perfectly honest. You are observing me in some way, shape, or form, the same way your prospects are observing you. So I think it's very, very important that you do that. So I think you might want to answer this question. Sorry if it's grammatically incorrect. Or maybe I'm coining a new word that million other people are also taking credit for. Who knows? Are you Googleable? In other words, if somebody right now goes and Googles your name, what are they going to find out? And there's a great way to do it. Why don't you just go ahead and type in your name in Google and see what they're going to see, because they're doing it. Don't kid yourself and think that they don't know what Google is, folks. This isn't like mid-90s right now. Right? A whole great new world right now of search engines, and people are going to check you out. And by the way, this was one of the reality checks that I did, and I'm so glad that I got kind of a bitch slap from Google. And it was back in a faraway time called 1995 and 1996 right now. I'm going crazy here. Actually, it was in a far, not that far away. It was actually in a less far away time called 2008. And I really had to rebrand myself at that point. And it was just 5 short years ago. And it was 5 years ago this month, by the way. That's why I'm getting kind of sentimental on you. Because I was in a classroom, many of you know the story, and somebody threw a left hook at me. And they said, hey, you've been talking about writing a book and all this kind of stuff. Why haven't you done it? And before I could think, I kind of said, because I'm scared. And then, you know, I'm not going to sit there and backpedal. I'm a real straightforward type of guy. I like being upfront and honest with people. And I said, yeah, you heard that, folks. And now I got to figure out why I'm so scared here to do something like that. And when I kind of sat in the hotel room afterwards, just kind of alone with my thoughts and had my journal open, I thought about what it was that scared me at that point in time. And it was the fact that I felt that nobody knew me outside of the company where I was working. And I figured, let me do the ultimate test. Let me pop in my name into Google. And at that point in time, it was like 2 results that came back. God's honest truth, one of the results was wrong. So it was like, so there I am at that point. I'm saying to myself, all right, so I'm in sales now, like 25 years at this point. And I'm like, so for 25 years, all I have to show for myself online, the only digital trail that I've left is 1 result. I mean, like, what the hell, right? So that's when I decided that I needed to rebrand myself because I felt that other people would be doing that and I needed to leave a trail. You need to have a digital trail. I'm going to tell you that. If you're not on board with that, you need to get on board now because I'm also going to tell you, like that ship sailed already and you need to, like, catch up to it because this is where the action is right now. And I want to be very clear that I am not saying that you are to abandon or in any way, shape, or form that picking up phones and meeting people face-to-face, that stuff sucks. I'm saying, again, that stuff is just lonely, and it needs this stuff. And this is where the eyeballs are going right now. Eyeballs are shifting. You need to understand that. And if it's your boss that's holding you back, they need to understand this. And furthermore, stop waiting for your boss to give you the blessing on this. They don't need to. You need to get on it on your own. It's none of their business how you choose to brand yourself personally, unless you're dropping the name of the company and, you know, you're representing yourself fully as a representative of the company, then you're going to need some kind of a blessing from them. But branding yourself, just get going on it. Stop waiting for this magical time that the heavens open up and says that, you know, you're blessed and you're approved. It's not going to happen. So are you Googleable? Now, one of the things that you could do, like right now, you could even just pause this and go and do this. That will get you 1 instant result on Google and take you from like 0, or in my case, 1 to 2. You could double it right there. See? You're welcome. Go on to LinkedIn, and if I'm hoping that you have a LinkedIn profile. And if you don't, I really want you to hang your head in shame. You really should feel ashamed of yourself. That's your online resume. Get with it, man. Get an online resume. Fill that out and do it and, like, step into the future with the rest of us here. Get that done. And when you get it done on settings, set it to public. When you set your profile to public, guess what? It shows up in search engines. Google loves LinkedIn. So that will get you 1 result and hopefully 1 more than you have right now. Or, in some cases, sadly, it'll get you to your first result. The other thing, too, remember, Google owns Google+. So you might want to have a profile set up right there. It'll come up. And as a matter of fact, having a profile set up on the big 4, which would be LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, is going to help you as far as showing up in search engines. So that's not a bad thing. Now, the other thing that I think you should do, let's kind of jump over to LinkedIn again. It's very important. A lot of people don't think of connecting with their prospects. They kind of wait till they're officially a client or whatever it is. I think it's a good thing to do when they're prospects. I really do. I don't know that it's a good thing to do to connect with somebody and just immediately throw a sales pitch at them. I think now you're back to cold calling there, aren't you? And it's just kind of not to be expected on the social networking platforms. It's not the protocol. So you might want to be careful of that. But what I would do is connect with these people that you're talking about doing business with and who kind of know who you are so that you can get to know them. It's another place you can hang out together. And what I recommend that you do, the minute you connect with somebody, I would do this. And please write this one down. You want to immediately thank them for either accepting your invite, And what you want to do is send a letter. Thank you so much for accepting my invite. Or, hey, who knows? Maybe one of them sends you an invite. You can say, thank you so much for the kind invitation. Here are some additional places where we can connect. And then you can list all the other places where you hang out. On Twitter, here's my, you know, here's a link. On Google Plus. In fact, if you guys want to see what I do with that, because I have a letter, and I'll be happy to send it to you as a Word doc, so this way you can kind of edit it to your own needs, feel free to drop me an email, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. I'll send you a sample of that letter. But here's what this letter does that's so brilliant, right? What it does is it opens up the door for us to hang out in other places together. Now, in the whole getting to know you process, think about dating. You didn't always go to the same place with dating. And think about friendship. In friendships, you don't just go to the same place. You have other places where you hang out. Sometimes it's movies. Sometimes it's stay at home, right? And you just kind of watch a pay-per-view together. Sometimes you go out to dinner. Sometimes you cook a dinner. Sometimes you cook outside. Sometimes, man, you're going out for something a little bit more formal. You know the deal. Sometimes it's a long walk along the beach, right? But we mix it up. That's what keeps it interesting. And furthermore, right, I'm making a speech here. Furthermore, I want your vote as candidate for the U.S. Senate. See? I'm practicing. But it's that bad past of mine that's going to keep me from ever doing that. But seriously, folks, this is how we get to know each other. We hang out in different places. They get to observe us in different places. Remember, they want to observe us from a distance. There's different protocols on different platforms. Some of them are more social than others. Some of them are more business. Some of them are more business casual. Sometimes it's okay to talk about one thing in one place, but not so okay in another place. But here's the last point. What if you connected with them on LinkedIn and they really don't do a heck of a lot on LinkedIn? This opens it up. I can't tell you how many times I've sent this out and I get a response. Oh, thank God, because I hardly do anything here, but I do tons of stuff on Twitter, Castain, so meet up with me there. And the only other thing I want to say about that, take a look at your existing network right now on LinkedIn, especially, and twice a year, you can send a variation of that letter, and you could put a subject line of, where else can we connect? And you could just do what you did like in that first letter. And you could say something along the lines, like, many of you, there's some places I hang out more than others, but I wanted to find out the best place where I could hang out with you. Here are some of the places where I hang out, but enough about me. Where else can I hang out with you? And you word it differently than that. I certainly have it, you know, I have it as, you know, where else can we connect? But that's the gist of it. So that's very, very important, and it will help people to get to know you. So, you know, something else that I want you to think about on the getting to know you thing. You want to make sure that you want to get to know them and have them get to know you from a distance with your status updates. You could put a helpful tip in there. That could obviously be helpful, right, to people. Put that in there. I like to start off my status updates on LinkedIn and Twitter every single morning with, good morning, how can I help someone today, or how can I help you today? Sometimes I get fancy and I'll say Happy Friday or TGIF. Who can I help today? Things like that. Be very, very helpful. You can also remember to stop by their status updates, and you don't want to be creepy about it, but remember, everyone has a story and wants to be heard. So if they're talking about something, validate what they're saying, comment on it. It's very, very important to do that. And don't be one of these idiots that say, oh man, it's just play by play. But what really cracks me up about that statement, and I hear this all the time about Twitter, too many people tweeting about what they had for lunch. And first of all, that's like 5 years old. And we need like a new way to diss Twitter, because it really isn't that case. 5 years ago, that's the way it was, barely. Now it really isn't. And shame on you, by the way, if you're following people like that. But the other thing to think about is this. Is that, so you mean to tell me that a prospect who could buy from you, who's tweeting about something that you think is play-by-play, is nonsense, and something that you can't use, but yet it's okay for you to sit in their office and comment about a picture on the wall, or the fact that they have kids, or the fact that they're into golf, or whatever it is. I mean, it's the same thing. So I think that's really the modern version of it. So, and remember that people aren't putting things out there just randomly. They're putting things out there because it means something to them. Your job is to validate them. Let's go back to that statement I made before. Everyone has a story, and wants to be heard. And if you want, let's just get the group hug out of the way. We'll do the, you know, we'll do a few songs around the campfire and all that. Kumbaya and all that. We'll get the warm fuzzies out of the way. And when we're done, let's make some money on that statement. Because that statement is spot on, if I do say so myself. People, everyone, I do, you do. We have a story. We have something that we want to tell people. Something that's important to us today. Maybe something that's important to us tomorrow. And we want to be heard. And here's the problem, folks. So rarely are we heard. People are busy. People are busy doing a lot of talking of their own, aren't they? Especially in social networking circles. Everybody's broadcasting their things and getting their story out. How many people can you really think about in your life right now, beyond your significant other, beyond your family, that truly care about you and that truly validate things you're saying and truly show a genuine interest in what you're saying? This is a wonderful way to get to know people. But a lot of people are going to dismiss this one because there's nothing sexy about what I just told you there, right? Nothing sophisticated. Nothing that makes you think, man, this guy is a rocket scientist here, man. He's coming up with cutting edge technology. Heck, man, that one's only like a few thousand years old, that concept, if you think about it. It's been around since the beginning of mankind and womankind, too. But, you know what? Once again, we're not very quick to do the things we know. And if we did, man, we'd be making a lot more money right now. So maybe a note to self on that. But you want to be quick to help out. When you see a situation where somebody's reaching out for help, be quick to be helpful, not salesy. There's a difference between the two. I won't bore you with beating up that dead horse. I think you also have to watch for, and I call it social clues. Watch for social clues. I mean, LinkedIn, one of the, like, the, well, first of all, a social clue. It might be nice if I define it for you, right? A social clue is an opportunity for you to be social. It's something that somebody puts out there that you can leverage into a conversation and you can start interacting with them. And you ready for this? You could actually be social. Wow. Imagine that, social, in a social networking circle. So on LinkedIn, it's really cool. Like, they'll show, like, work anniversaries. You know, Paul Castain is having a work anniversary. 3 years with Castain Training Systems. Well, how about stopping by and congratulating that person? How about taking it up a notch and not just doing this virtual stuff? And by all means, stop by virtually. Congrats, Paul. But send a card to the person. How many cards do you think they received congratulating them, including yours? Another way for them to get to know you. You're showing a genuine interest in them. Certainly their birthday, many times on their profile, it'll show the birthday. I think sometimes on Twitter, you'll see people tweeting that they're going to a conference. Couldn't you reply and say, oh, have fun, or hey, safe travels? Or if you see that they're going to New York, you could say, first time going to New York, do you travel there often? In my case, if you haven't picked up by the accent that follows me around like a shadow, maybe what I could say is, whereabouts in New York are you going to be staying? Maybe I could tell you some, do you know where you're going to be hanging out and eating and having a drink? Can I help you with that? I mean, those are some things that you can do. They're conversation starters. And we forget about that in social networking a lot. So that's kind of me beating up the no part. Let's go on to the like part. I'm not going to spend as much time on this, but many of these ideas that I'm telling you cross over into the other categories that I'm talking about. So let's talk about people doing business with people that they like. And I think at the core of it, people like other people who are just like them deep down. That doesn't mean that we have to sell out and somebody says, I'm into soccer. Yeah, me too, my whole life. I don't mean that. I mean people who, I think maybe even go a step further, who truly understand them and truly have a grasp on their needs and their challenges and the opportunities and the things that drive them crazy and the things that get them really, really excited. So you've heard me give this advice before, but maybe today will be, and I know I'm being sarcastic, so forgive me, but maybe today will be the day that you do it. There's one of the things that I always talk about. You got to mentally fire yourself. You need to do it quarterly. So if you already did this, it might be time for you to do it again, because I don't think I've offered this advice in probably, I'm guessing, about 6 weeks at least. But you have to fire yourself, rehire yourself as the person who buys your product or service. And you need to do two things. You need to think about all the things that would absolutely aggravate you in that position. And think about dealing with perhaps suppliers and managing multiple relationships, deadlines, poor communication, quality control, surprise costs, things like that. But also think about their role in general. These are people that traditionally have to deal with a lot of internal customers, maybe external customers. It's a real deadline type of position that they're in. Think about things from their perspective. If you were that person, what would just drive you crazy? But this is the mistake right here. People stop here. We were always taught you have to find the pain in sales. See, I'm the one right now who has the probably a really just unpopular opinion. I cry BS to that. I don't think we have to find the pain. I think it would be wonderful if we could. I do believe that pain is a bigger motivator than anything else. When we're in pain, we want the pain to go away. But there's not always going to be pain, folks. Now, you might think you can create pain. No, you got to be really good to do that. There's just not always going to be pain. You have to also look for the opportunities that they could be embracing. So keep yourself fired and think about all the things that that businesses in general want. I mean, in a generic, a very general sense, businesses typically want to sell more. They want happy employees and happy customers, happy shareholders, right? They want a good image in the marketplace, quicker to market turn times, greater efficiencies, and we can go on and on and on. Think about that and then get very specific. If you were in that role, if you were, let's just say you sell to the head of marketing, if you sold to that person, or actually if you were that person, what would be exciting to you? What would make you look like a rock star? What would be the things that you would be looking for to make you look like a rock star? If you sell to a CEO, what would be the things that make a CEO look like a rock star, feel like a rock star? What would be the things that would excite them if they were able to embrace? So you want to think about that and think about those things. Take it a step further, because this exercise right now is to get you to truly understand. See, when somebody feels that you understand them, I feel you become more likable. I think that's very, very important. So the other thing that you want to do while you're fired anyway, and then you can hire yourself back, full benefits, by the way, maybe give yourself a 5% raise, right? Because I think you deserve it. But anyway, I think what you need to do is come up with the top 20 to 25 questions that you would have in that role if you were looking for your particular type of service that you sell now. So let's take my situation, because I better understand my situation. I sell sales training and coaching services. So I need to think about what would be some of the top questions. So every quarter, I do this, and I don't just do this because I blog and I do these podcasts. I do it because I need to understand my audience, and I never want to lose touch with them. That's when people are not really going to like me, because I'm nothing like them. I'm very removed from their world if I don't do that. So in my situation, I've kind of fired myself, and I've come up with a list of questions. On this one, how do I sell more? How do I sell with a higher price? How do I negotiate better? How do I do all these things like LinkedIn and Twitter and all that, right? That could be another question right there. How do I ask better questions? How do I plan better? How do I manage my, this is a huge one, by the way. How do I manage my time and get this all in the day? How do I balance better between work and my personal life? Things like that. So it's very important that you do this. And if you want to really kick it up a notch, sales leaders that are listening to this, VPs of sales, business owners, I think this would be a great exercise for your entire sales team to do. Let's get the collective brain power of the entire sales organization working on this. And you're allowed to rip each other off and compare notes here. So I would definitely do that. So those are some things that you can do. And then I think at a minimum on the on that whole like thing is you can't be an ass. And I know you know that, but so many people don't realize how they come across. And I think it's very, very important. You could be misunderstood. And I'll give you a quick example of being misunderstood. And it's not my style to badmouth or call anybody out, but there's this one guy on social networking, we're going to say. And I don't really see him around as much anymore, but he was in the LinkedIn groups a lot. And he had a nickname behind his back. And I bet you the guy never realized it, or maybe he did. And that's what he was going for. But it certainly wasn't the phrase I coined for him, but I can't tell you how many conversations I had with people where we're talking about LinkedIn groups and stuff, and they're like, hey, do you ever see that angry phone guy? He was known as the angry phone guy because one of the things he did was he worked with people to help them with their phone skills and stuff, and he's just, every one of his discussions on LinkedIn was, he's brawling with people and berating them and just being angry, like the guy's carrying around a lot of anger or something like that. And here's the thing, just that you don't think I'm being an ass right now too and bad-mouthing someone, because you might even know what I'm talking about. And it's not my point to make someone feel bad or to just be an idiot here. I do want to tell you that I happen to respect the guy, and I think he's very, very knowledgeable. I've listened to some of the things that he's put out there. I've read some of his work. And what this person doesn't know also, when I was in a different sales life, I actually thought about hiring him as a resource to help train. I mean, before I broke off and launched Castane Training Systems, I created a sales training program for 850 sales reps at a $1 billion-a-year printing company. So, and I did it all myself, by the way. So there was room to bring on outside vendors. I really thought about bringing this guy on, and then I observed him from a distance, as we talked about. I even had a little run-in with the guy, and I said, man, this guy's a dick, and I just didn't want to hire him. So that's what can happen there. So you have to be very, very careful. And this is going to segue very, very nicely into the final thing. Remember what I told you? A lot of these ideas are going to carry over, the trust part. And I think you need to understand that there are essentially six judgments. I call them the six judgments of brand, but I think you could easily call them the six judgments of trust. First of all, you need to understand, you do know that people judge you, right? And you do know that it doesn't matter how long you've been in a relationship. We are continually judged. And it's generally by these six types of factors here that I have. The first one is how you look. Now, we can go on and say that you have to be Mr. or Miss GQ and all that kind of thing, but it's how you look in general. It could be both how you're put together as a sales rep. It could also be your representation in your profile. There's a lot of people out there, you don't put a picture, and I don't understand that, because obviously you've seen my picture. I'm not going to be running off having a Brad Pitt look-alike contest anytime soon. People need to see what you look like. That's part of them trusting you. Otherwise, you're just anonymous to them. You really should put a face on there. They want to know that there's a friendly face out there. So I think that's very, very important. So how your profile looks, how you look. And I'll tell you a quick side story. I remember when I was a lot younger and I had hair. By the way, I actually had long hair halfway down my back at one point. My ear was pierced, and I worked with my dad. And my father, being an ex-Marine, he promptly reminded me that you will not be wearing that around the office, or certainly not wearing that on sales calls. And I was just a stupid kid. And I don't even know why I asked him the question. I should have known where it was going to go, right? And I said, well, why wouldn't I wear the earring? And he said, because people are going to judge you, and you're an intelligent guy, and they're going to see you a certain way before you ever open your mouth. And I remember thinking, well, then screw them, right? I was rebellious even then. Well, screw them if they can't take a joke. And it's really a shame, because I think we have to realize people do judge with their eyes first. So you really have to look at how you're coming across in your visual message. Next, how you act. Well, I give you an example of somebody and how they were acting. And it was a person who is very intelligent, as far as I'm concerned. A person that I would not have hesitated to hire to help support me with those 850 sales reps. But he acted like an ass. So it's not just acting like an ass, it's just how you act in general and your demeanor. And sometimes you're not aware of something, how you're coming across. Next, what you're saying. I think we have to be very intentional in the words that we use and think about what it is that we're going to say and make sure the message that we have shows that we relate to our audience. And it's a friendly message and not something that's abrasive or demeaning. And we could do so much with each one of these things that I'm mentioning to you, but even what you say, sometimes we don't dumb things down. These are things that we're around every single day, 24/7, and our audience is not. And we forget to do things like that. Even remembering to use the lingo of perhaps your client or your prospect. I mean, that's a very good way to mirror them, by the way. Mirror their words and phrases. Very, very important. what you say, how you say something, how you package it, I think is huge. There are things that we say each and every day that we've never challenged. We've never thought about maybe a better way of saying the message. We have to do that. I think where you say it is very, very important. And with whom you're saying something. Because, I mean, could I be an idiot by association? If you see me hanging out with jerks, could you judge me accordingly and say, well, he must be a jerk? So the six judgments here are how you look, how you act, what you say, how you say it, where you say it, with whom you say it. Now, you need to understand some things about those six judgments. The first thing is, everything you do within those six areas has to be congruent. It's, in other words, picture them as kind of a fleet of ships. They must all sail in the same direction. They must underscore your brand, your personal brand. They must underscore the message. You can't have inconsistencies. Again, angry phone dude, right? What he was saying in some cases was really pretty spot on and pretty intelligent. How he was saying it completely undermined it. People weren't listening to him because he was being a jerk about it. So that's very, very important. You might be doing the same, maybe not in a malicious way, but maybe you look one way, but you act another way. Maybe you act one way, but you're saying something completely different. They must be aligned. Next. When it comes to those six judgments, you need to understand that repetition is the mother of brand. It is also the mother of trust. Whatever we do repeatedly, over time, and certainly consistently, gets linked to us. So you need to think about that. Too many people come out there and they put on a good show for 15 minutes, and then they completely negate what they're doing. I'll give you a great example. This is going to sound silly, but how many people last year do you think were unfriended because they started putting their stupid political opinions out there? And meanwhile, somebody's following them because they want to get sales tips. Or meanwhile, somebody's following them because they think that there's somebody that they should know in engineering or whatever. Pick an area. Now they're disconnecting with them because they're an Obama fan and the other person is not, and they're dissing the president or whatever. I mean, you have to be very careful of that stuff. And even something as innocent, and certainly next to what I just illustrated, you have people who are branding themselves as an expert in whatever, fill in the blank, and then they're giving you literally, like they're a wannabe sports announcer, giving you the play-by-play on a football game. It's kind of, people are going to look at that like, hey, I didn't sign up for this. So you got to be very careful. So whatever it is that you do, consistently, repeatedly, over time, is going to get linked to you. That's one of the ways that we create trust. And I think the other thing too is remembering to align yourself with a consistent message and knowing what that message is going to be. Like for me, there's a lot of things that I want you to gain from hanging out with me. First of all, you've heard me say it before. I said it on this podcast. I want it to be more like a visit. I think sales is formal enough without somebody making you feel dumb right now. I want it to be like we're having a beer together, or we're at the kitchen table having a cup of coffee, chilling out together, and we're having a conversation. That is a message that you look in everything that I do, you will see it. In fact, I challenge you to show me where I'm not doing that. That's how I want it to be. I want it to be more of a relaxed, casual type of message. I want to be known as somebody who's very helpful, very knowledgeable, fun, funny, maybe a little irreverent every now and again just for a goof. Things like that. Not stuffy, definitely not the corporate type of guy. So you need to think about your message and how you want to come across. So you want to think about that. But now here's something else, and then we're going to wrap up in a minute because we're really going into overtime here. I think it's very, very important that you demonstrate your expertise along the line. That's going to go a long way in people trusting you. So put tips out there. I mean, you should be writing things. I mean, you don't have to be a brilliant writer, but put together some ideas for people, the helpful hints. Send it out to your target audience. Heck, would it kill you to go and like go to like, what is it? I use Instant Presenter, but you could do like WebEx or whatever. Put your own webinar on and demonstrate your expertise. Things like that are very, very important. It'll go a long way. But you also have to look at your message and answer this question. Who says so besides you? Look at your message and what you're saying. All these little selling points that you have about doing business with you and your company. Who says so besides you? How could you prove what you're saying proactively? That goes a long way in people trusting you, because people by nature, they don't trust us as salespeople. We need to own that, folks. I mean, we could sit here in denial all day and say it isn't so, but it is so. And you do it yourself with people that you're buying from. So we're kind of all in this one together. So what can you do to become more believable? Well, you can provide more evidence. Things like provide studies that back up what you're saying. Offer more facts. How about case histories? How about statistics? A good old-fashioned, for instance, or an example goes a long way. And I can go on and on and on, but I kind of save the best for last. Are you using testimonials? And are you remembering when somebody's complimenting you and telling you how you saved the day to ask them for a testimonial? I can't think of a better time. And use these testimonials. I mean, it was only this year that I kind of got the wake-up call, like, duh, I've been in sales my whole life. I know that testimonials are important. Why don't I plaster these all over my website? So if you go on, and I'll put the links on the show notes, if you go to yoursalesplaybook.com and you go to, like, the Hire Paul page and things like that, you will see testimonials all over the place, because that helps you to trust me more, because you realize that somebody else aside from Paul, Paul's job is to sell Paul. But now here's somebody that doesn't owe Paul anything, unless he's sitting there at gunpoint writing this, saying that Paul rocks. That packs a lot of punch. Are you doing that? Because that's very, very important. So there you have it, folks. I mean, just a few ideas. I mean, heck, we could easily change the name of this podcast to the No Like and Trust podcast. And from now to the end of time, talk about different ways that people will know us, like us, and trust us. And these are just certainly some just a few ideas to get you going. What I want you to do is maybe look back on your notes, think about one or two things that you're taking away from this podcast. Get out there, get your arms around it this week, because the last thing I want you to do is have this just sit in your notepad and it's just there with all the other podcasts, whatever it is. Why don't you get out there, get your arms around it, and take action. Before you go, I need to tell you about something that's kind of cool. But what we're going to be doing is right now, we just started actually, we have early registration now for our January online sales program. And I'm getting a lot of great feedback on that program. What it is, if you didn't know, I just want to tell you very, very quickly. We have this online sales program where you never leave the office. You don't have to jump on planes or hotels or anything like that. And right on your computer screen, we do this training once a week for 8 weeks, starting late January. So you have plenty of time to get it on the calendar. Tuck aside a few dollars if you need to do that. And what's really cool about it is if you can't make a session, no worries. We record it. Even if you make the session, you need a little bit of reinforcement, great. Go back. Check out the recording. And when I say recording, it's like you're there, because it's slides and all. And just to take you through the topics, we're going to start this whole crazy journey that we're going to take with pre-call planning. Then in session two, we're going to talk about phone skills. And I go about it a little bit differently than most people, probably a little bit differently than the way you were taught. Then in session three, I'm going to show you, I always talk about the sales mix thing, how you can mix the phone with other things like LinkedIn, certainly email. We've got to use email. It's a necessary evil. How can we use it more effectively? Things like that. Then it would be really cool at that point. Now you're setting up appointments, right? I mean, well, how can we create a more effective prospect meeting? I talk about some insurance policies that you need to take out in that meeting. I talk about how you can take control without looking like you're like controlling, right? Big difference there. Then we go into questioning skills in the next session, and I talk about how you can ask better questions. Quite frankly, I think most of us in sales completely suck at asking questions. We know we're supposed to do it. We don't ask them to the degree that we should. And I talk about two types of questions, and no, it isn't this open-ended question, close questions nonsense that you've been force-fed since the beginning of time. Expect a breath of fresh air in that department. We'll also talk about presenting your solutions with impact, ways that you can stand out from your competitors, because most of us are in really, really competitive fields. How can we present our ideas in a way that stand out above and beyond everyone else? Then we're going to talk about gaining commitment, which is just a fancy way of saying closing. And I talk to you about that. And then I go where most sales trainers don't in the final session. And I tell you, what do we do if all this stuff doesn't work? Because all of us are in situation. I mean, wouldn't it be great if everything that we did turned into a yes? We'd be multi-billionaires on our own private island. Well, life doesn't work that way. So I'm going to take you through a map, like what I was talking to you about earlier, that communication mapping. I'm going to help you map out exactly what to do, what to say, how to proceed from the moment somebody tells you no, and to stay in the game long enough to position yourself for an eventual yes. So that's kind of the deal. But the best news is this, is that if you enroll before, I think it's December 2nd or 3rd, I'm sorry, probably should have had that in front of me, it's going to be $50 off because we're doing the early registration. So if you figure if you enroll before the beginning of December, around the 2nd or the 3rd, you can save $50 off of this program. I don't know about you, but I always like to catch a deal, especially this time of year. We're running a little light on funds. You definitely want to do that. And if you're a VP of sales or a sales manager listening to this, keep in mind that two or more gets a very nice discount as well. So with that, I am Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.